So, Andrew, what was your first impression of meeting Bob?
Well, Andrew, let's tell them how it happened. 3 years ago, when Legend was to drive up and meet me at the airport, I was phoning him, and he wasn't connecting, and it was a bit hard of a task to him to drive by. I didn't know you couldn't go back in, and I was just standing, and you got to be right there, and the guy drives up, and you get in the car. Okay, it's real fast. So it was awkward. It took a while for us to connect. So I figured, okay, with Corbin, it's definitely going to fuck up. If Corbin's with Legend, it's going to make it worse. So I get there early enough to get ready, and we're to meet at 8:45, but my cell phone doesn't have an American SIM card. So it's not working, so I'm wondering whether to do a payphone, but probably not. And so right at 8:45, I would say, okay, they should come here. And I started, okay, I'm going to have to start somehow calling. I don't know, maybe I could call. I don't know. I don't think I could call.
Remember, you called. You landed, you called. But you told me later, you said, I called, but the numbers didn't disconnect.
that was it. That's right. So I was able to call. Corbin kept writing emails like 10 times a day. Call me, call this number. We're coming at 8:45. So I finally, at 8:45 or 8:50, after, okay, they should be right here. They're not. I'm going to call Corbin. I call fucking Corbin's number, and the voicemail says the number's been disconnected. I said, typical Corbin. So my first effort to connect fucked up, okay? So I called it like twice. And then the second time I'm looking, okay, what now? Where do I stand? Where are they going to drive up? All of a sudden this guy is standing in front of me, and he's addressing me. I assume it's Legend. I said, Jesus, Legend, you've really changed from the drops.
I dress you. I say, Bob, and I give him a big bear hug.
Like Legend might. But then all of a sudden I woke up and said, wait a minute, this is not fucking Legend. This is a setup. This is fucking ridiculous.
Who that was later. Come on, now. That was
you didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. I immediately, pretty quickly, within 30 seconds, went, and you were turning around. You may not have heard me. I said, wait a minute. You're not a Legend. This is a fucking setup. And I'm looking around, getting ready to be shot or something. But I'm sort of walking with him, and then Legend gets out of the driver's seat, and I go, there's Legend. So you're not Legend. So I said, who the fuck are you? Then Corbin jumped out, so I was dealing with Corbin Legend, but I was wondering, who the fuck is this other guy? So it was sort of set up, and I didn't understand what was happening. And then we got in the car, and then so what's your version, Andrew?
You played it off really well. My whole intent was to put you off guard because I thought you would know what Legend looked like. So when I said Bob gave you a big bear hug, I thought you would be like, who the fuck is this guy? What the hell's going on? Get away from me, this kind of stuff. But instead you kind of rolled with it. And what I didn't realize is you thought maybe Legend had changed or lost some weight or what have you.
I didn't. I actually was a bit disturbed for a second there right at the beginning because I said, okay, you actually were like Legend size. And, you know, actually together you don't. But I had a distorted, I didn't have a very strong memory of Legend. So you're standing there and you're the only guy who could recognize me. That's Legend. So I figured the drops changed you, but then within 20 seconds, no, they wouldn't change this much. What's going on here? And then Legend hops out of the car, and I realized that guy isn't Legend. I might have thought, well, okay, he's a friend, or I thought, well, this is even weirder. See, that's my spy part. Nobody knew I was upset or disturbed. I just looked really cool and no problem.
And you rolled with it really well.
Yeah, I rolled with it very well. That's right. So we get in the fucking car. And Corbin is motor mouthing 1,000 fucking words of it. Ridiculous. And I said, geez, we're going to have this for fucking next 6 hours. I knew it would be like this. So I'm trying to listen to Andrew and Legend, that would be a more interesting conversation. And Corbin gets so excited, he calls Carolyn or Eben. I don't know what the order was. He was so excited making up crap to Eben about how we were going to strip clubs and all that, that I was able to talk to Legend and Andrew. So we had a couple of minutes of sane conversation, sort of, though Andrew was laughing his head off at the absurdity of it all, and Corbin was yelling and being ridiculous with Evan, and then he got distracted with Carolyn, so Corbin was distracted, so that was good. Then when we get out of the car at L'Hermitage, Corbin couldn't walk, so I was able to walk faster ahead with Legend and Andrew and have some decent conversation. Then when Corbin caught up to us and we sat down, he sat beside me and harassed me the whole night.
It was bad. It really was. It shows how saintly Bob can be just dealing with it. At one point, he was trying to poke Bob in the ear with straw. I mean, that's the point it got to. It was like, okay, this is really ridiculous here, Corbin.
Yeah. And, you know, he left some message the next day saying, Bob, it was a wonderful evening. We all had a good time. We all were very human and intelligent, and you were a gracious host. And he had no clue that he'd fucking ruined the evening, basically.
Wow. Well, I wouldn't say ruined it, but he added a different kind of spice, that's for sure.
Well, you guys could look at it from distance. He ruined it for me. I mean, I'm a saint, so I got over it. But, you know, any sane person would have punched him out, you know, pretty quick.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I deal with autistic kids that are very much like that. And so you not having that kind of exposure says a lot, the way that you dealt with it. I mean, it was superb. It was really good.
So maybe that showed something. That was the reason. But, you know, we did have a good time talking, and I just didn't like the small portions we were given of food. That's the main thing about, you know, yuppie restaurants is they think, you know, a few little nothings is a dinner. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and the plate was probably dressed up real nice then, right, with a small portion.
No, it wasn't decorated.
It wasn't that great. I mean, the appetizers were okay. I liked the little truffle whatnot that they had. That was good. It was overpriced, I felt, for what it was. And the steak that I had was no great shakes. I have better at home.
No, but home was way better. Yeah, I'm glad I never went to restaurants the last 40 years.
So who sat by Corbin? You, Bob? You had to sit by
Corbin? Yeah, it was Corbin on my right, then me, then Evan. And then at the end of the table, Tremaine's two sisters. Then it was Legend on the other side of the table. And Andrew and Tremaine, and then Jack at the end of the table beside Corbin. So it was Jack, Corbin, me, Evan. Then it was the two sisters, Legend, Andrew, and Tremaine.
So perfect. Was Jack shocked about Corbin?
When Corbin finally was speaking, and we're all listening, and he's explaining something to Jack, and you know Jack's thinking, I have no idea what this guy is talking about. So I said, Jack, you don't need to keep paying attention. It's not going to get improved. I know you're trying to figure it out. You will not be able to figure it out. Remember that, Andrew? Jack
times
started laughing his head off at that. He really started laughing at that point.
Well, what amazed me was the Florida state bonding that they had at one point in time. I thought, this is fucking end well.
Well, I asked Jack what he made of Corbin. He said, he was interesting, and they had Miami in common. You know, they came from Miami. So he was pretty tolerant. He was getting irritated, or he started looking at his cell phone after a while.
Yeah.
Right. But
I kept drawing it in.
Yeah, what I did is that he was always interrupting, and there was always interruptions. I would never say anything when it was my turn to talk without everybody listening. So if the waiters were interrupting everybody, I'd wait till the waiters are gone, then everybody would realize, okay, there's humans here, let's talk. And then I'd make sure they'd hear it. So I kept bringing Jack into our part of the conversation and bypassing Corbin as much as possible.
Well, you were the master of ceremonies, so, you know, you kind of led the way in your demeanor as to, you know, what everybody else did.
And I demanded everybody to hear whatever was being said.
Yeah.
As much as possible. Cool. So it wouldn't get fragmented. There were many times people were talking and Corbin was blabbing away. And depending on your ability to block him out, you heard the person. But you had to compete with Corbin every now and then.
He was not on his best behavior.
And at one point, he did shut up and sat back and looked at us wisely. You remember that part?
I'm not sure if it's just he had exceeded his level of alcohol intake or what that was.
I thought it was later in the night when he finally was chilled.
Yeah, it was later.
He'd run himself ragged.
He couldn't get me. Couldn't get my attention, so he gave up.
Well, I got my bottle of Jim Beam back, and there wasn't really anything left in it, so maybe that was something to do with that. Tell me, Ion, explain for me why that at Le Mirage, why the girl came up to me after I went to the bathroom. I was looking at the wines, and she came up to me and said that she wondered where I had been because I had this radiance about me or what have you. What was going on? Or no, not what, but did I bump into
that
a portal?
That your patron was willing to buy you $40 shots of scotch and that you didn't giggle about it.
Yeah, I knew it was about me. I was going to say, it's because you were near me, Andrew. You were
about
that's
you.
Why you were glowing. You were glowing because you were near me.
It's about you.
Yeah, it is. Apparently it always is.
Good enough.
Now,
it wasn't about...
The bathroom. Let's talk about Andrew. Hold on. Let's do this better. When you went to the bathroom, you opened the door, you went into the bathroom, and you looked in, and you saw where the sinks were, right?
Yes.
And there's a mirror above the sink. And you look straight down to the end on the opposing wall. Is there a mirror there?
The first door, I remember going through, and then there was a second door.
Yes.
And you go into the bathroom, and on the left-hand side is where the sink is, and there's a mirror above it.
And then against the long wall, the opposing wall, is there a mirror there also?
Was there? I don't remember
it. Well, that's the $40 scotch, see. That'll do that for you. But if you're in one world, there's not a mirror. And if you're in another world, there is a mirror when you go through the second door. The shift is between the two doors. Between the two doors, there was something hanging on the wall. Was there or not?
I don't recall.
What, the blue rose?
Or, you know, to get non-physical to talk about a night of Rider, you damn sure don't remember much of it.
What's that $40 scotch?
I get you. Okay. IGGY. All right, now, so when you go between the two doors, you can then choose to open or close and go to or go not into the portal. The portal was never in the bathroom. The portal was between the two doors. The only way you could get to know the difference, because they're so slight and the same, which is why she would ask you if you look radiant, because sometimes if you come through those portals, you're not from here and you are radiant, especially if you're good at this. And number one is the only one who can do it without fail or exception. He can look at you and tell where you are, basically. But maybe his castle hopping got into that place. Maybe so. We don't know. But we are thrilled because that's how he got to be number one in the first place now, isn't it? Go ahead and ask your next little question.
Well, once I went through the first door and I thought I saw a mirror on the left-hand side.
Yes.
Then I went through the second set of doors where there was the stalls and the mirror and the sink on the left-hand side again, the urinals on the right-hand side.
Right.
And I thought for a moment I may have seen the sparkly.
The shift. That's right. You very likely would have. But that would have been activated going between the two doors.
Okay.
Okay, now wait a second. Now, Khaleesi. You remember when Olivia was going to see Betty in the Twin Towers, and that's the same thing happened when the elevator opened, and then when the double door opened and the double door closed, and it started, and it was halfway, and it's like the little sparkly thing, but not really. It was like a shift. That's what he described. And then the next thing you know, and the elevator goes up. Well, the elevator isn't really going up, and there's that damn Nina coming out there, and where in the hell she come from? In a whole other world. And it's someone that doesn't have the bad arm. So now it's a whole other, and it's the same Nina, but it's not. One Nina's got an electric arm, and the other Nina don't. You can't tell the difference. So that's the difference at La Mertage. You look between the two doors, and if there's something hanging on the wall, that's one world, and if it's not there, then it's the other one. That's the point. You have to pay attention and know what you're absolutely seeing, because it's so subtle, you won't notice the difference.
What was it I was supposed to notice in the women's room? We were talking about that earlier on.
You did. We did, and you didn't see a thing, so we couldn't begin. We didn't know.
Okay, very,
when you walk through the same thing, that there's a mirror at the end, the same thing, there's a mirror, like to see if you're slip or skirt tail is tucked in or something. There's a full-length mirror right there, and you didn't see that. So we don't know what to say. If you didn't see that mirror, we don't know. Because that portal is in that mirror. You walk through the mirror to go through that portal.
And if you notice how guarded they were with that place, you couldn't just run around and free roam it any way you want to. You notice that. Like if you're hanging in the bathroom, people are coming in and going out of there all the time. Or you sit there and watch for a little while and you'll see people come out of the bathroom that didn't go in the bathroom. And you go, where the fuck did they come from? I've been sitting here 2 hours because Bob has a room there that he doesn't really have. But Bob has a room there that he doesn't really have, so he has a reason to be there for a couple hours so that you can see what's going on. That people are there that didn't come in. There's people leaving the L'Hermitage that didn't come in.
I did not initiate. This young gal initiated with me. I'm minding my own business, looking at the bottles of wine there in the display case, and she's making a point to talk about that. Was that just the reflection? Was that just for me to recognize something and was different?
No, she was checking to make sure you were the same you that went in.
She's like the scorekeeper or what?
No, she was just seeing if you were the same one that went in. Because they got to kind of keep an eye on it. Because what happens if both of you got on the same side and you didn't swap? That could be a mess, too. Do you remember what happened when both Olivias got back on this side? It was kind of a mess.
It was really funny because then I did my Hanna-Barbera rendition there, the hubba-dubba and the dooba-dooba and whatnot. And I could almost
We can pray that way for a nice Seder. When we go to a nice Seder, we always host the prayer. Abba dabba dabba doo.
That's right.
Abba dabba doo. Abba dabba dabba doo. We can do that, and it's great. Most people love it, especially the ancient Samaritan Hebrew Lord.
Hey, Ian, so that waitress, she's from another world herself. She knows the situation.
Most all of them do. That's why they put up with you guys, because they knew you were coming. They saw the train coming.
Yeah, he did come out. They said, okay, you guys staying here? I said, yeah, I got a room. He knew I was lying, right?
Yes, and just like you sent RNA drops to Europe because you know you're going to be there, they'd already asked Carolyn 2 weeks before you got there if you were going to pay the bill or not. Would she okay? You notice how clever and witty I was to wait till Dr. Dean went to bed to bring that one up, huh, Bob?
She's a little pissed off to hear that Legend and Andrew are ordering $100 drinks. She's
you started it off. You started it off. Oh, there you go.
Whatever you want.
Yeah, I was a leak on that. Bob's fine.
It's a tax write-off.
Whatever you want. And then people woke up in Kuala Lumpur for the ACH transfer to make sure it was okay. Okay to pay.
That was a pretty esoteric joke.
Okay to pay. So that's what happened at L'Hermitage. Now, everybody asks these questions, but then where's Legend? There's been a couple of times, and he still don't know where he is, so we don't know.
Well, we're still working on that. I'm amazed he's not on now. He supposedly told me he was listening earlier.
It's okay. It's all good. He's probably got Corbinitis.
Legend is basically a hand puppet attached to Corbin.
Oh, okay.
It's drawing on Corbin's hand that serves as a puppet.
Oh, nice. That's good. That's always handy when you get the piles, too.
Did you guys know that Corbin left a message a week or two ago complaining for the last 4 weeks that I would not let him on the show? He didn't know that he was listening to reruns.
Oh.
Meanwhile, he was with you at L'Hermitage when I thought it was going on. That's nice.
He always calls 10 minutes before the show to reserve a spot. He says, Bob, I got a lot to say. Please let me on. I love you. You're a very gracious gentleman at the L'Hermitage. Carolyn's great. He compliments us up and down the yin-yang. And so he's sitting there. Must be like 3 hours tonight, and we never opened the line, so he finally gave up. Went back to fucking Cat. Which he bragged at the dinner that he's fucking Cat. That's his girlfriend during the show. And he admitted that he was pleading with her to bear his children that one night we caught him doing that. And you know what? He almost broke his toe, or he did break his toe. Earlier in the day, pregame tensions, because he knew it was a major battle between me and him and Jermaine. We'll maybe take Jermaine off the whatever it's called. There it is.
Yeah, take her off mute, because I wore one of her Miley Cyrus
Unfortunately, Jack sat beside Corbin, so Jack probably didn't have a great night. He had to put up with Corbin bugging me. I was there trying to listen to Jermaine's sisters, and Corbin took his stupid little music tape and stuck it up against my ear. He was sitting right beside me, and he jammed his music into my ear so I couldn't hear what they were saying. That's what he's doing. So anyways, he broke his toe and scraped his leg earlier in the day in the pregame tensions, but he showed up. He performed lousy. He lost. So we took him back to his little hole, and he'll never hear this. He doesn't listen to the show. He doesn't know.
We dropped him off at the homeless. And then we were looking for James Martinez.
They were gunning for James Martinez. So anyways, he dropped Corbin off. I treated him with the renew.
On our quest,
I put the renew on his foot and his kneecap and all the injuries. And we're still there 10 minutes, maybe 7 minutes later. He goes, Bob, this stuff's working. This is good. This is good. And the next day he left a message saying it really helped his leg and foot, and he's feeling a lot better. So he finally had contact with Iandon.
What year did he get the original sheet music, Ion, of the RNA drop on his neck?
That was with Jermaine. That was August 2011, 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. See, he's lucky to get Renew now. And to have nothing, he's got to be going out of his mind and now just...
Yeah, just now. Oh,
yeah,
he's got the Renew.
It's amazing. He lives in the nicest slum in Beverly Hills.
He lives in the landlord's video dump. There's 3,000 videos lining the walls, or video cases lining the walls of this little hole, and Corbin has a couch amongst them. That's his place. Right, Andrew? I described it.
Oh,
right.
Like I said, all the VHS he can watch.
Yeah, all the VHS he can watch.
If he actually had anything to play them with, yeah, which he doesn't. But